the Illinois-Missouri Association of Regular Baptist Churches representative, and you're part of that group. It's about 65 churches. I have that delightful ministry of trying to encourage pastors and to find pastors for churches, and I found Albert for you guys. I just want to remind you of that. Albert. And I sent him here to this church to candidate because I saw a godly man. And I've been just pleased with how he has assimilated in the ministry here. And I just do want you to pray for them as they have this time away for vacation. Marcia and I just celebrated our 45th wedding anniversary. And we went to Vail, Colorado, where we were a pastor for many years. We pastored in one church for 30 years. And every year we went to Vail as a family vacation, and so we thought, well, we're going to have 45 years of a marriage celebration. Where do we go? We thought, well, let's go back to Vail, Colorado, and celebrate where we went for so many years with our family. And we don't hardly ever take 2 days off, let alone take about 12 days off, and that's what we did here just recently. We're just back fresh from that, and it is important just to take some time away from time to time. And that's especially true for a parent who works very diligently and deals with many, many things that the average person attending a church just doesn't realize he deals with. And he has the burden of the ministry, he has his burden with relationship to the Lord as a person who stands as a mediator between God and men and men and God. And so he represents in many ways and goes to bat for you before God the Father as he brings your needs and brings your concerns to the Father on a regular basis. It's just good to be with family. Sometimes just be good to get out of town and be somewhere else. And we noticed that on this latest trip that we had. Also, I want to remind you of the fact that we had our national meeting in Indiana. And just going to say, guess who I sat with on one of those sessions at the national conference of the GRBC? Anybody want to guess? Steve Saban. Yes, I sat with Steve Saban. And just renewed that relationship and that friend. And he is thrilled with what's happening here at the church. And he wanted us, any time that we had the opportunity, he didn't know I was going to be coming here necessarily, but he wanted us to try to give you that word that he is just thrilled for you. And he continues to serve the Lord and glad for all that's going on here at the church. So I've been thinking about this from time to time, but I was taking a shower this morning, get ready. Yes, I do take showers from time to time. I was taking a shower, and all week long, I've been using a depleted bar of soap. And every day I get out, and I think, you know, I've got to replace that stupid thing because I can hardly get any suds out of it. I'm taking it down to its nub. And so I need to replace it with another bar. But then I get out of the shower and dry off, and I forget to replace it. Well, last night I replaced it. And I got up this morning, took a shower, and this thought came to my mind. Life's too short to use a depleted bar of soap. When it gets down so small, throw it away and use a fresh bar. Oh, the difference. That big bar of soap made as I sudsed up and just had a delightful time in the shower. Life's too short to use a depleted bar of soap. You know, you're going to save a little money if you bring it all the way down. Don't worry about it. Life's too short. Life's too short to not tell God that you love him every day. Amen? All right. Life's too short to tell your wife every day or your husband every day that you love him. Amen?
Amen?
Life's too short, if you have children, to not tell your children every day, I love you. And children, if you're here, and I see a child or two, life's too short for you to tell your parents you love them every day. You got anything you want to add to that? Life's too short. What would you add to that? Life's too short. Anybody? Huh? To not share Jesus with somebody. Amen, brother. Witnessing. Telling others.
Have dessert first.
Have dessert a living example of that slogan. Somebody else, doesn't have to be spiritual. He reminded us of that. Yes? To not hold a grudge. Amen. You know, if you're holding a grudge, you're the one that's suffering. You know, the other person you're holding a grudge against, he's just going on with his life. And you're over there pouting, you know, getting. Life's too short for that. Get rid of it. Dump it. Forgive it. Go on. Don't hold grudges. Yes? How many watched the NFL Hall of Fame induction last night? Anybody? Oh, you got to be kidding. We were glued. You watched it? You don't care? One of the men got up and he says, I was really trying to think about what in the world I was going to say. Here I'm getting inducted into the hall. Just what in the, how do I even start this thing? And his wife said, you don't have to worry about start. You have to worry about finishing. And one of the guys went 33 minutes. 33 minutes. The rest were pretty good on time, but this is a little over. So, anybody else? Life's too short to... Life's too short to not pray. And how should we pray? Huh? Fervently. Keep going. Continually, without ceasing. With our whole heart. And we heard in Sunday, pray for our leadership in this country as well and for our country. Also, I just wanted to say, wow, is this the same church or what? We've done some remodel. Good job. One of the things I've been trying to tell our pastors is that they need to be current. Not necessarily contemporary, but current. And get rid of the paneling. You see, that came in the 60s and 70s, so at this point it's 50 years old. So it's good to get rid of the paneling and at least get something up there that looks current. Doesn't have to be radical, temporary, just current. Amen? Amen. Now I know some of you may not, you know, you're missing the old paneling and that kind of thing, but tough it out, folks. It'll be okay. In addition to our ministry with 65 churches, I'm pastoring a church, and I've been pastoring it for 2 years, try to rescue it, and I don't know if we're going to rescue it or not, but we try. And that church has orange and brown shag carpet. And it has paneling over every wall. Every wall. It's an amazing situation. I don't know that we can rescue this one. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. You say, when are you going to preach? Well, I'm getting around to it. My wife says, you have trouble finishing. Well, I was just trying to figure out how to get started. 1 John chapter 3 will be located. Everybody get the notes? I always, wherever I preach, put notes in the bulletin or somehow make them available. Usually I don't do fill in the blanks, but I thought that helps stay with me. And so now you have to have a pencil with you as well. Otherwise, I usually put full outlines in there. But we didn't this time. So, 1 John chapter 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 3. I'm reading out the New King. It's a translation I prefer. I know the Pew Bibles are ESV. I read it during Sunday school. Sorry, Brother Fowler, I did read that during your... Just to see where it might differ and close. So, if you've got that one, that's fine. If not... I saw that. I heard you. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now are we children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him, capital H, not you, Not him, small h, everyone who has in himself, not that. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself. Just as capital H, he, God, is pure. God always adds a blessing to the reading of his word. And if you've been blessed by that reading, say amen. 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 Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, we're thankful for the time that we're going to spend in the word of God, talking about a very precious subject. The song service already prepared our hearts with this subject in mind. The love that has been shed abroad to us and the love that we should share to others. We're thankful for all of that. Bless now as we come to this time of insight. I pray that you give us attentiveness and help us to have also the ability we hear and not just say, yeah, that's good. Help us to be able to take what we hear and apply it to our life so that what we hear makes a difference in the way we think and in the day and in the way we live. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. A new pulpit. Now I have to make sure my zipper's up. Or a few other things back here. Now you know how many notes I have on this Tarrant pulpit. The amazing, uncommon love of God. It starts in verse 1, and it starts with the word behold. And I know that the ESV says just see. It is one of the words for, there's a number of Greek words for the word see. And it is not the best translation just to go ahead and have the word see at the beginning of this verse, because this word for see is like warning light. It's like a beacon. It's like wanting to arrest your attention. And the idea is not just see, it is behold. Behold. Wow. John says, what I'm going to say here is such significance. I don't want you just to see it. I want you to behold what I'm going to say. And that is an amazing way to begin a verse. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. You can't talk about love and not admit that most people in this world think that that's one of the areas that they're an expert in. Just ask them. And they never doubt that until their marriage falls apart. But up until that point, they think they've been the world's best. But there's a marked difference between how the common man in this world thinks about love and how the Bible tends to portray God's love. The common man in this world thinks of love in the sense of quantity. Quantity. And the more, the better. The more I can get, the better it is. And it starts early on. A quantity approach to love. Whereas the Bible always looks at it from one of the greatest words in that Greek language, the word agape, and looks at it from the standpoint of quality of love. Now, it's interesting that as this begins this journey into this subject of love, it begins with a very interesting idea. So that in point number one, God's amazing love has an uncommon origin. The word is, you can write that into your notes, origin. And that is seen in this verse by the little words, what manner? What manner of love? And I love that word manner of love because it's looking at the very origin and quality of that love. What most people don't realize that behind this word is the idea of what, from what foreign entity or from what foreign country has this love originated. That's actually what goes behind that word in the Greek, the word manner. What out of this world love has come to us. What strange, unique love. Not something originating here on earth with us. Not something just manifested from earthly beings. What foreign world, what foreign origin has somehow manifested, sent, bestowed this love on us? What a wonderful way to begin, huh? I just am, every time I see that in the Bible, I'm just amazed. Because I just simply ask you this question. Where would we be without God's love? Eternity. What if eternity was based on human love? The fickle, temporary, unsatisfying, selfish type of love that we see from a world system that is in absolutely, in every way, contrary to the very being and nature of God. What if that was the basis for the love? John starts and says, I want to get your attention. So I'm not just going to use the word for see, that means just to see. I'm going to take that Greek word that means heads up! Behold! Watch out! There's a light flashing. It's big. This is love, and it has an uncommon origin. Praise God. Because we're dealing with the most important subject in the world. I'm glad it comes from God. So, has an uncommon, this amazing, uncommon love of God has this uncommon origin. I want you to notice, secondly, that God's amazing love has an uncommon offer. An uncommon offer. That's your second word. Offer. Why? Because it says the Father has bestowed. Doesn't that remind you of John 3:16? This, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That love. That Father and his love. For God so loved the world. Now, in that verse, when it says for God, it can include the Godhead. Go back to eternity past when the entire plan of redemption was formulated and designed before creation in the decrees of the Trinity, in the decrees of the Godhead. It can go back and you can have that from the word God because it can be used in that general way. But the verse also talks about his Son. And so the word God in John 3:16 is going to take a little bit more of a specific idea, and it's going to be the Father. Since the word begotten Son is used in the verse, then it's looking at God a little more specifically. And so in John 3:16, it's not talking about the love of Christ. Oh, did Christ love us when he died on the cross for us? Yes, other verses tell us that. But in 16, it's not talking about the love of Christ. It's talking about the love of the Father. The Father. It's the Father's love. That was so much for this world. that he gave his only begotten son. Wow. You see, John, who wrote John 3:16, is writing 1 John chapter 3, right? And so he just reminds us, since it's been in his mind since John 3:16, you see, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. It has an uncommon offer. I just want to say that the love of God in the person of Jesus Christ is the greatest gift ever given to mankind. Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ, as in God the Father, is the greatest gift ever given to this world, ever given to mankind. You have in your notes. Have your notes, hold it up. Got your notes? Good. All right, you got your notes. You'll notice there's a little poem there at the bottom. I want us to read it together, all right? Now, I'll just give you a chance here to pick it up if it was still tucked in your Bible, or if you need to put your hand to see it a little better. Well, are you all ready? Let's read it together. For I'm persuaded to believe that nothing can separate us from the wonderful love of God. For above it will send if we let him live within us while in this sinful world we trod. Neither height nor depth nor principalities nor things present or things to come. Though the devil hate us, he can never separate us from the wonderful love of God. Amen? Now that's actually Romans chapter 8, but I just threw it in here in the notes just for fun. Did you know that's a song? How many of them that? Nobody? Well, are you going to make me sing a solo? Go ahead. For I'm persuaded to believe nothing can separate us from the wonderful love of God. For above it will send us if we let him live within us while in the sinful world we trod. Neither height nor depth nor principalities, nor present or things to come. Though the devil hate us, he can never separate us from the wonderful love of God. How many remember it now? We got one person. Anybody else? Never heard it before. Let's all try it. Ready? Aha, I threw a quick one on you, huh? All right, here we go. You follow along. For I'm persuaded to believe nothing can separate us from the wonderful love of God. For above it will send us if we let him live within us while in the sinful world we trod. Neither height nor depth nor principalities, things present or to come. Though the devil hate us, he can never separate us from the wonderful love of God. Ready? Boom, boom. Ready to go? For I'm persuaded to believe nothing can separate us from the wonderful love of God. For above it will send us if we let him live within us while in the sinful world we trod. Neither height nor depth nor principalities, things present or things to come. Though the devil hate us, he can never separate us from the wonderful love of God. All God's people said, amen. Amen. We have an uncommon origin of this amazing, uncommon love of God. We have an uncommon offer of this amazing, uncommon love of God. Let's look at number three. God's amazing love has an uncommon object. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon who? Us. Now the author is John, and he believer. So when he says us, and then goes on to say that we, who is he including? All believers. All believers. Not anybody, not everybody. But since he's a believer, and he says us, And he says, we, he's assuming ownership. He's assuming faith. He's assuming belief. And so at this point in the verse, he's talking about believers, and he's saying that this amazing love has an uncommon object. That uncommon object is believers. And I just turned to Romans chapter 5. I want you to notice how this is such a difficult object, uncommon object for God to display and give his love. Romans chapter 5, and we'll begin with verse 6, and I want you to see how people are in the sight of God before he ever gives them, bestows upon them his love. Beginning with verse 6, Romans chapter 5, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. I just want you to notice that before God ever was his love on this uncommon object, it is an object of sinfulness and one described as an enemy. Before we're saved, we're not part of God's family. Before we're saved, we have not experienced the true love of God. It is only as God moves in our heart through the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation that for the first time we can experience this. We are, it says in verse 6, without strength, we are sinners. We're objects of God's wrath, verse 9, enemies. And God reaches down in an uncommon offer and places his love on an uncommon object. Notice number 4. God's love has an uncommon operation. An uncommon operation. The verse goes on to say that we should be called the children of God. John uses the term for children, a Greek term, technon, is the Greek word. That word is also kind of a synonym for another Greek word that is often translated as son in the scriptures, and that's the word huios. So normally, if you're going to see the word son, it's going to be huios, or it's going to be technon. And out of the two major words for son, John didn't choose huios, he chose technon. And the word technon literally means born. Born one. And we often say, when we trust Christ as our Savior, we are born again. Because salvation is a birth relationship. A birth relationship. I was in a Christian bookstore years ago, minding my own business, looking at books. I have a few books, I think about 7,000 in my library. And so I like books, and I read books, and I'm just minding business, and all of a sudden this lady, another customer, walks over to the guy behind the counter, and she begins to ask him a question about whether or not you could lose your salvation. And the guy behind the counter, this lady, she can lose her salvation. And so I'm over there trying to mind my own business, but I have caught that with my ear, and I kind of begin to twitch, you know, because that's wrong. That's bad theology. And so I waited till the lady left, and I ambled over to the counter, and I said, I'd like to talk what you told that lady. Oh, he said, by requirement here at the job, we're not supposed to talk theology to the customer. And I said, you already did. Well, yeah, I did, he said. I said, well, I'd like to talk to you about that. He said, what do you have? I said, now, you may have heard of this before, and if you have, you can stop me. But if you've never heard of this before, you need to hear this. I said, salvation is a birth relationship. And there's one thing that is absolutely true and can never, ever be contradicted. And that is, a birth relationship can never be undone. He was shocked. He said, I've never heard that before. And I said, that's why I'm here. I'm here to make sure you heard that today. Because whether it's physical birth or whether it's a spiritual birth, neither, because they are a birth, can be undone. And though a person can go through life and say, I wish I had never been born, he cannot fulfill those words literally. Amen? And your spiritual birth cannot be undone. And that's why John chose technon. He literally, when you trust Christ as your Savior, when you have become that recipient of God's love, you literally become a born one in His family. Oh, that is so precious. That is so good. So valuable to know about God's love and the difference it makes in a person's life. I could say a lot more, but we need to hasten. Time is rapidly passing. And my wife's prophetic words sometimes come true. You don't know how to stop. God's amazing love. Number five, for those of you still taking notes, number five, God's amazing love has an uncommon offense. It says the world does not know us because it did not know Him. The offer to this world is without limitation, but the rejection of God's love by individuals in this world limits its application to them. And the very first thing you need to know about being saved is that the world does not really think you're hip. It does not think you're common unless you completely destroy your testimony by living just like them. And to do so is to not live in of God. Because the love of God is something that the world, before they are saved, hate. And they strike out at that. And folks, in a time when we're seeing an all-out attack upon Christianity in this country. And what they are allowing other religions to do and get by with, not allowing Christianity to do. And I could take another 10 or 15 minutes just on recent news items to show you how that The message of God is being directly impacted and attacked by our system, even in America, where they want to unroot the Christian, quote unquote, foundation that this country was based upon. You see, technically the world despises God, and therefore it despises his authority and his love. And because of that, anyone identified with God's love is also going to be despised by this world system. Notice number 6, God's amazing love has an uncommon outlook. An uncommon outlook. We're in verse 2. It says, "Beloved, now are we children of God, and it had been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." God's love has brought a beyond this life perspective to anyone who has been changed by that love. And God's love encourages us to live in light of the hope that we have in the any moment return of Christ and our abode with him in heaven. And so we have always sung from years back, "This world is not my home, I'm my laid up some." Let me just say, is that true of your life? Honestly, think about, you know, you can lie through singing as you can lie through talking. Is this home? Are you just a passing through? Are your treasures laid up somewhere beyond the blue? Is that your perspective? You see, this verse 2 is talking about this uncommon outlook. Have the average person in this world is not living for eternity. There's another song we used to sing. It was called "With Eternity's Values in View." The average person in this world is not living like that. They're setting down roots for what they can get. They're living for the joys and the present tense, and we have become more present tense oriented than any generation in history. That's why we have selfies. Come here. That's why we say we have 1,000. You have to completely redefine the word friend to say you have 1,000 friends. There is no way anyone has 1,000 friends. You might have 1,000 acquaintances. You can meet those if you go shopping and see the same clerk, or you go to the same hair cutter. Or you go to any business and see the same person over there. That might be an acquaintance. That's not a friend. Fake book is not true friendship. A real friend spends time with another person in person, not over a technology device. We are more present tense, and the world has become present tense, and everybody is living in the present tense, and we're forgetting about history. And if you forget about history, you repeat the mistakes of history. And we're beginning now to repeat the mistakes of history in a generation, and it is affecting all aspects of our generation, all aspects of society, every aspect of it. Even religion and church are being affected by a present tense appetite for "I want to be pleased. The world exists for me rather than I exist to be pleasing to God and to make an impact that is going to be an eternal impact on others." God's amazing love has this uncommon outlook. Finally, number 7, God's amazing love has an uncommon obligation. Verse 3, obligation. For it says, "And everyone who has this hope," the hope that's just been referred to in verse 2, "in him," Christ, "purifies himself just as he is pure." When I was a young boy, I'm a preacher's kid, so I had a father that I could always go to and ask theological questions. I probably didn't do that enough. But I remember one time I had just started Little League Baseball, and I was all fascinated with baseball. I went to my dad and I said, "When we go to heaven, is there going to be baseball in heaven?" I don't think my dad was expecting that question. He thought about it for a moment, and then he said, "Why do you ask?" And I said, "Well, because I really like baseball, and I figure if heaven is all that it's cracked up to be, it's supposed to have things that I like. After all, we're supposed to be excited about going there. And I just want to have baseball in heaven." Well, he said, "I'm not sure that we are." Oh, I was a little disappointed. And I think he saw the disappointment on my face. So he continued and said this. He said, "I'll present an idea to you." He said, "If God can take sinful people and place them in a sin-cursed world, doing such simplistic things as playing baseball, what do you think God could do taking perfect people, a perfect place, and playing perfect games?" And I never asked him again if I would be happy in heaven. Never again. Never ask. Why? Because our viewpoint is so limited. It is so earthbound that we can't even imagine beyond the limitations of our own finite thinking to think that an infinite God could do something and create something so magnificent that it would be beyond our imagination. But I don't know about you, but that's the God that John writes about when he says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon you, upon us, that we can be called born ones of God." Encouraged? I wanted to encourage you today. Are you encouraged? Okay, all right, just checking. Just checking. I said to my wife, "I don't know on my tombstone." I've been thinking about that more lately than I used to, but I've been thinking I just maybe want the saying, "All he wanted to do was turn people to..." Who was it that said, "Life's too short to not be witnessing"? Who said that? Was that you in the blue shirt? No, that was you in the glasses? Yep. Okay. Don't be afraid to admit it. No, behind you. The good-looking guy. I mean, the fella behind you. That guy. Folks, you've got the most blessed news in all the world. Talk about it. Talk about it. Spread the truth. Spread the word. Amen? Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for this day, time spent in the word. Encourage our hearts as your children. If there's anyone here, just someone here, that has never trusted Christ, help them to realize that they have avoided making the most important decision in this entire world, and that's a decision that not only provides happiness and hope for this world, but provides ultimate happiness and hope in eternity. And pray that you would bring them through the ministry of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit convicts their heart of sin, and bring them to faith so that also be children of God and experience the love that John writes about in this passage. For we ask it in Jesus' name.